My name is Kara Gott Warner, and I am the host of the podcast, business coach and cheerleader on your yarn crafting path. You can subscribe and listen to the podcast by visiting powerpearlspodcast.com. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player. So today, I am joined by special guest Julie Crawford of the lifestyle blog knittedbliss.com. Julie is smitten with the written word, cozy knits, international travel, and domestic pleasures. On the Knitted Bliss blog, Julie helps knitters and crafters get inspired by sharing projects, recipes, and reflections on the crafting life. And I'm going to introduce Julie in just a minute. And also, you guys, before, just stay to the end, because Julie has a special gift, which we'll share with you later. And just a little note before we get started, I want to let you all know that this episode is brought to you by the Power Pearls community on Patreon. And if you love the podcast and these live broadcasts, you can show your love by supporting the show. And when you do, you get first dibs on asking every guest questions. You get a private Facebook group, weekly mini-sodes delivered to you every Monday to inspire your week ahead. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to powerpearlspodcast.com/community. All right. So there we are. So, hey, Julie, thank you so much for joining me today on Power Pearls Podcast.
Hi, Kara. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is great. So, Julie, you've actually been on my radar for a while because, you reached out to me a while ago to be on Stitchcraft Marketing Podcast. Mm-hmm. Leanne of Stitchcraft wanted to be on my show, and you reached out, and I just found your blog so inspiring and intriguing because I love how you mix your passions for yarn, knitting, food, and lifestyle all in one place. So it's just really inspiring. And so that's why I really wanted to have you on and just kind of ask you questions about all of that. So, but I shared a little bit about you, so I'm going to stop talking. So you can jump in now. And I'd love it if you could share a little bit about yourself and how you found your place in the fiber universe.
Well, I mean, I think you've done such a good job of introducing me already. That's an interesting idea about one's place within the fiber universe. I think there's a lot of room for people in that. And awesome. My heating just kicked in.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you can hear that, but yeah, that's just this low rumbling. Yep. I don't know. Years ago, before there was Ravelry, so this was the dark ages of the internet before Ravelry, I was reading a lot of interesting knitting blogs that I was coming across just through random searches, and they were incredible. It was amazing how you could find other people who were so passionate about crafting and knitting and talking about it at great length. And I thought, oh, that's totally something I want to do as well. And at the time, it just seemed like, well, I'll just give it a go. I'll just start a blog and see how that goes. And it's evolved quite a bit over the years, but it's something I really enjoy. And I've made a lot of good friends, both in real life and in the internet world, you know, through this sphere. And it's just been fantastic. I love it.
That's great. I hear a little bit of a Canadian accent there. My husband's Canadian. Yes. So you're in Ontario, right?
Yes, I live in Toronto.
Oh, you are. You're right. Are you right in the heart of the city or sort of outside?
If you live in Toronto, there are arguments about what is actually downtown versus, you know, I live a little bit to the west, so slightly to the left of the center, mm-hmm. which is pretty much how I stand on many things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. I was in Toronto last October and I loved it. It's such a fun city. So, great. So why a knitting and lifestyle blog, Julie? Because that's kind of like my big question. Cause I often thought that you should probably keep both, you know, recipes and yarn separate. You know, because I know exactly why, but I don't know. That's how my brain thinks. I always thought, you know, to make a success of, let's say if it's a knitting blog, like that you have to kind of niche down, but clearly knitters like to eat too.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So I guess it's probably an easy, that's probably an easy answer for you, because it's like, well, because it's all the stuff that you love. But did you ever think that that was like, will this be a success? Cause it's kind of a more of like a broad lifestyle topic, I guess.
Well, I think what's interesting about that in terms of adding in the lifestyle component, as a natural introvert, I struggle with how to actually put myself out there, if that makes sense, which is funny because then you put yourself on the internet and it seems like you're living quite a public life, but you're not, because it's just this tiny little percentage that people see with the photos that you've chosen, and it's very constructed. And so I wanted to, there's no matter how passionate of a knitter you are, it's not the only thing you're passionate about. It's not the only thing that you are about. And I wanted to share some of the other interesting things that I read around the internet that I thought other people would like to read. Based on the friends that I've made through knittedbliss.com, it just seemed like, well, if they're interested in the same sort of things I'm interested in, why wouldn't I share that? I bet we all have a lot in common. And it turns out we do. So I share the recipes that I like. I share links that I find interesting, articles that I find interesting. When I started the blog, I didn't have children. Now I have two children. I try and put them on a little bit, but not too much, because as exciting as it is to share aspects of their development, I also think that, you know, that's not everybody's interest, right?
Right.
I love my kids. Doesn't mean everybody. Yeah. I love my kids.
Well, that's funny, because some of my groupies that are watching, they'll know I always have London, my son, on every like spring break or fall break, because it's like, hey, you know what? He's here and he can be integrated, like integrate. And it is the funniest thing, because you know, he's like, he's what makes my show, you know, happen. So I figure, why not every now and again, you know? And kids are great, because you can do kid, you know, crafts, and they just make people laugh and smile too, right? So it's nice to have the kiddies on every now and again.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question about the material that you find. So, and this is a question that I have. So, you know, it's are these photos that you take yourself? I mean, obviously you can't take all the photos, but like, let's say you're doing a recipe. You take, is it like a combination of you take your own photos, and then do you ask other food bloggers, for example, if you can actually post their photos? How does that work?
Okay, so if we're talking about pictures of food that I have not made, and when I do cook, it's never the most beautiful thing. I'm not the best plater. You know how people can put things on a plate? Mm-hmm. It's so artfully arranged and it looks incredible. That is not me. At that point, after however long I've spent cooking, I'm really just like, get it into my face. I'm hungry. I'm tired. Let's just move on. And I can't really be bothered with the photo. But so when it comes to sharing recipes and things like that, I definitely use the original photos from the recipe. And then they're clearly cited and referenced back in both Pinterest and on the original site, so that they have their full credit.
Okay. So you don't have to, you know, spend that time reaching out to every single person asking.
No,
I mean, it's nice to
being done otherwise. Yeah. I have yet to have, knock on wood, anyone come back to me saying, hey, I didn't say you could share it. Part of that comes from, I source them off of Pinterest, where people already have the internal controls to say, I don't want people pinning my web content to Pinterest, because it is such a highly shareable platform. So subsequently, taking it from Pinterest and then using both the Pinterest link and the original citation, which is so important, that gives people then the opportunity to get full credit for what they're doing. And then also, you probably know this, when you have a website and someone links to something on your website, you get a ping. So you're able to go and source it. And frequently I'll have the creators of those content, they'll come and they'll make a little comment saying, oh, thanks for sharing and things like that. It's been very positive.
No, that's really interesting. That's good to know. So what about recipes? Like, so if you're sharing that photos, can you actually copy and paste the recipe and make it in and turn it into your own post? Or
I would not do that. That seems,
I'm just,
like, no,
yeah,
that
I'm just
seems,
asking.
I don't know if it's an exact copyright infringement, but it sounds like it. Because to me, the whole point is to share content. And if you didn't create it, to take all that content and put it on your website just morally, somebody else already went and put all of that effort into it. They deserve to have the hits. They deserve to have the web traffic. I'm happy to promote something that I'm genuinely interested in. So I'm happy to give them the direct link and say, this is where the recipe is. You can go here. And then that increases their traffic. And so many food blogs tend to have quite a lot of advertising on them, sometimes way too much advertising on them. But I mean, so for their revenue, they need that traffic. The clicks that they're getting over there helps give a boost to whatever income they're deriving from their website. So that makes more sense. This way it helps promote them and the content that they're creating.
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense. I just thought maybe I'd throw that out there in case someone was wondering, like, how would they go about it?
And then I never post other people's recipes directly on the blog. If there is a recipe with the full directions on my blog, it's my recipe.
It's your recipe.
I made it up.
And then if you're citing a recipe that you love, you can talk about it in your own words. Like, I love it because of this, this, and this, and you know, and then add the link. Okay.
I'll reference things that I did differently in the recipe. I'll say something like, I didn't have this, so I substituted this and it was just fine. Or I like to add a lot of vegetables to mine. So even though there weren't vegetables in this recipe, I added X, Y, and Z and it turned out great.
That's so funny. X, Y, and Z. The first time I ever heard Z was my husband. I'm like, what are you talking about? Sorry. I'm picking on you because you're Canadian. No.
X, Y, and Z?
Yeah. But anyway, that's a whole other convo. So do you have like a day where, and let's just, you know, we're talking a lot about recipes and food, but like, do you have theme days, like today's knitting, today's recipes, tomorrow's kids stuff? And do you have a time where you sit down and you do your research? You know what I mean? Do you have research days where you're just pulling in all the stuff and all the content that you're going to share? Like, how does that look? What's a typical kind of process for you?
Okay. On Mondays, I do Modification Mondays, and that's a hard and fast thing. I've had that feature on my blog for years. So what I do is I feature a modified knitting pattern found on Ravelry, and it will have the pictures and the links to that person's project page and then a discussion about what they did to change that knitting pattern to customize it, make it their own. Maybe they did a mashup of a couple of different knitting patterns, that sort of thing. That is something where every single person who's featured on Modification Monday, I do contact them directly and obtain express written permission from them prior to each posting. In particular, because so many of those, I mean, it's great to promote it, but Ravelry is not necessarily a public site. It's not like, for example, if someone had a recipe on their food blog that's already out there for anyone with a web address. So subsequently, when you're using photos that are not in a public domain, you absolutely need to get written consent to do so. So I definitely do that for Mondays. So every Monday, I have Modification Monday. And if you go to knittedbliss.com, you'll see at the top, there is definitely a Mod Monday tab, and you can see all of the different ones that I've featured. And I've been doing it for years. I'm so impressed by the endless creativity of my fellow knitters. Like, there's no end to it. People have done stuff. It's just absolutely blown me away. And it's so inspiring. So if you want to look at ways to get out of just following the pattern, there's so many great ideas that these knitters have been generous enough to share. The other cornerstone content that I have on Knitted Bliss is on Fridays, I call them pinups and link love, my favorite things this week. And I share usually about four or five article links that I came across, as well as five different pins that come from Pinterest on a variety of subjects. There's usually a sweet, a savory, some crafting, maybe some interesting things that whatever tickles my fancy. I don't have a day where I sit down and say, here's my Friday post. I'm going to go and find all my links. As I use the internet every single day, like we all do, I will find interesting snippets. And when I find one, I take it and I always have a draft post going and I just plug it into the draft post.
Oh, that's smart.
If I have, you know, an embarrassment of riches one week and I find all kinds of great pins and great links to share, I will have more than one draft post, because that's always great to have as well, if I can just sort of stockpile and share those great things that I find. What's wonderful about that is in the comments, then when people read, particularly the articles, they can share some of their opinions and feedback, because I don't necessarily agree with every article that I share. And I do mention it when I write about it on the Friday post, where I'll say, this was interesting. I don't know if I agree with it, but, you know, for a topic of conversation. And it's fascinating because I realize, you know, we all have such diverse interests.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what about the other feature that you have? It's called We Wednesday.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
I have really
that.
Fallen That's off cute. On my We Wednesdays. So, okay.
Are those your kids? Is that your little girl that I saw a couple of, I guess?
Yeah, I have a 5-year-old daughter named Lila, and my son James will be 2 in a couple of weeks.
Aww.
So he's still just a little baby. But, I guess he's not little, he's huge. He's running around and talking. But what if I'm going to feature content with them, I tend to do it on Wednesdays. So for people who are interested in sort of seeing, you know, cute kids and things related to the kids, that's the day when generally I will share it. It is not every Wednesday though. Not by all, but.
Yeah. So, well, that's great. I just wanted to kind of hear how you manage those different features. Oh, look, it's a kitty cat.
I know. She came up in front of the webcam, and now that I'm holding her up, she's like, no, I just wanted to wave my tail in front of it. I didn't actually want to be on the show.
Yeah. Just let her do whatever, her or him.
That one's her. I have 2.
You let her do whatever she wants. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you some questions about your business. You know, how you kind of turn this all into your business and how you diversify. But before I do, I just want to circle back to the comments, because this is kind of an interactive way of podcasting. And I see there were a few questions. Actually, Melanie Fiedler asks, what is on your needles? What's on your needles right now, Julie?
a couple of things. I am knitting a scarf for my daughter. That she has requested with yarn. It's a Hedgehog Fibers single ply in the colorway Boombox, and she wanted a scarf, like the long rectangular kind, which I never knit because I find them quite boring, but I'm knitting her a rectangular normal scarf as per her request. And the other thing I'm working on is, what is the name of it? I believe it's called Shockwave, and it is also a scarf, maybe a wrap. We'll find out when it's done, and I block it, how big it is, where it's a series of colors that are moving from one to the next. I'm using this beautiful merino silk single ply yarn from Spirit Trail Fiberworks I have the set of it, and it's just gorgeous. So I've just been transitioning the colors, and it's just really lovely to knit.
Are these your patterns, or yeah. Did you find them on Ravelry?
Yeah, my patterns. I guess the scarf is. I'm making it up as I go along, so we'll see when it's done if it's worth me writing it up and sharing. Then maybe I will, the one for my daughter. Shockwave is a free pattern from Hedgehog Fibers, and if you look for it on Ravelry, I'm sure you'll find it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Melanie, for that question. Anybody else have any questions? You can pop them in anytime. So I'll switch back to asking Julie some questions here. So business-wise, okay, so how do you diversify? So are you making most of your, are you making a living off your blog, or would you say that you have to kind of, no? Because I know you take sponsorship. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that's a question for some of the people watching. Mm-hmm. You know, how, because I know back in the early days, now people say blogging's back, right? But it is getting noisier.
Yeah.
Right? So like in the early days, like in 2001, 2002, I mean, you could have had a blog and made a success, you know, because it wasn't as noisy. If you are making money from your blog, I mean, so how do you do it? And what are the other ways that you diversify?
Okay. A couple of years ago now, I think I was doing ongoing sponsorships where there were actually curated. So it wasn't just anything. It would have to be very particular to something relevant, a company that would be relevant to the readers of Knitted Bliss. And I would have ads in the sidebar. There was a maximum number. I think it was 4 or 5. And we'd have to have an email conversation in advance about exactly what that would look like and what the promotions would be like on knittedbliss.com. I stopped doing that because there was monthly commitments that I was doing for these sponsors to help promote their products, which the nice thing about choosing your sponsors has to do with the fact that you can make sure it's genuinely something you are interested in using. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Rather than, you know, you go to some websites and, you know, it's just a lot of ads from a whole bunch of things that are not necessarily related to the content that's on the website, you know, like a Ford truck commercial or something, or, you know.
Yeah, it should be endemic to what it is that you're talking about and doing, because those are the same things that the people that are listening or, you know, coming to your blog, they want that same stuff. And sure. Then it's going to be more authentic if it's something that you really love, because then you can kind of dig into it and kind of, you know, unpack it, if you will. Right.
Right. So then, when I had my second child, when James was born and I was on maternity leave, I was just starting to find it quite difficult to juggle some of those commitments, as well as I made a decision to take my daughter out of daycare and have her home with me as well. And it didn't go very well. That's a whole other story. Anyway, and I was feeling really overwhelmed. I just had too much on my plate. And I thought, you know, what I really wanted to do was actually take a break from the blog for a month or two, wrangle my family, and then reboot again in the fall. This would have been not this past summer, but the summer before. So summer of 2016. And I realized I couldn't, because I had these commitments. And I thought, oh, you know, well, the whole point of having my own website was to be able to have control over what I'm doing. And if I don't feel like I have control, then why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. So when those sponsorships were starting to wrap up the end of their cycle, you could buy multiple months at a time, I let the sponsors know in advance that I was not going to be renewing, not through any particular thing they were doing, but because I was going to be removing that style of sponsorship from my blog, because I just didn't feel like I had the freedom to do the things that I really wanted to be able to do with it. And sometimes, you know, we're human and we just need to take a break, right? I have young kids, and there was a lot going on, and there was a lot on my plate, and it just was too much for me. So I stopped doing that. I still do sponsored posts from time to time, but they are very particularly sponsored posts. I don't typically solicit them. Usually a company or a brand will get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have some email conversation back and forth about timeline, about whether or not it's a good fit, about how that's going to look, what I can offer, and we figure it out. If it's a good fit, absolutely, mm-hmm. we can make it work. And if it isn't, then I say, you know what, thanks for thinking of me, but I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you do that in the early days? I'm getting an echo right now. This is weird.
In the early days? The early days.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting an echo. Oh, there, it's gone now. Sorry, that was really strange. No, like when you started and you were working, you started working with sponsors. Mm-hmm. If you were to pitch to a sponsor, so how did you do that, or was it did you ever personally pitch? It was always they came to you. Is that really how it started for you?
Yeah, I think they came to me. I'm trying to think if I've pitched anyone. And I'm not saying never, but I can't recall a time that I have specifically pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I can't think of it.
Yeah. So what do you think was the turning point that made you attractive to sponsors and people that would have wanted to do sponsored posts?
Well, I think it has to do with a certain amount of regular content. When people are posting regularly and dependably, you know, you can go to that website X number of times a week and you're going to get fresh content. Or if you mm-hmm. are signed up for the alerts or any other kind of subscription, then you know you're going to get that regular content. And I try and maintain a high quality of photos on the blog. I take a lot of photos, unless the photos are of me, in which case my husband, he takes the photos, and I'm fortunate that he is an excellent photographer. So that helps. But, and I would say that it's really just about the quality of the content that's on there that makes people want to visit the site. And then from there, it's not that hard to kind of, if you Google knitting blogs, or if you take a look when somebody does a roundup, there's always these insanely large roundups, like 100 of the best knitting blogs. Who is reading 100 knitting blogs? But anyway, and you know, and it's nice to be high up in the rankings of that. And I'm not sure how people are determining that. I don't obsess over SEO. I don't obsess over the stats. There's a real ebb and flow to the internet and to blogging and to the numbers. And I just feel like that's not the important thing to focus on. Mm-hmm. And if you're worrying about that, about those numbers, then it's difficult to still be genuine because you're trying to chase what you think other people want instead of doing what you want. And in which case, why are you blogging if you're not doing what you want?
That's a really good point. And I think it goes without saying too, it's like you're putting out that quality content, like you said, but it's also consistent. It's every week. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's it. You have to decide, right? You have to decide in advance. And if you're really loving it, if you stop being consistent, then it's a combination of you love doing it, but then you realize if I really want to make a go at this, I have to be consistent and I have to keep doing this and show up week after week, even at the times when I don't really want to show up, mm-hmm. because then it gets to that level where you're like, you know, it could go into that realm of being a business because it is getting noisier and noisier. It is, you know,
and I can't understate, how important the photography is, or overstate, sorry. How important the photography is because people love to look at pretty pictures and, mm-hmm. you know, I see lots of great blogs that I enjoy, but the photos are, you know, they're not cropped in a way that take advantage of the knit in question, or they're not even close enough for us to get a really good look at what we're looking at. And sometimes those are pattern photos, you know, they're people promoting new patterns, but I can't even get a clear look at the stitch that's on it. So, you know, things like that are really tricky. It is worth spending time if you want to make a business on your knitting blog, to learn how to take those photos, to take a photography class, to study photos that you love and say, what makes this photo work?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know I've said this before on the podcast. It's like, just go on Instagram and study what they're doing. The best people, the people that you love. Why do you love them? Why do you love following them? Because they probably have really good photos.
Yeah.
And really just look at the lighting. Look mm-hmm. at the props. Do they have a color theme? I mean, it's like you can be really systematic and intentional about what you're going to do with those photos instead of like willy-nilly, like, snap a photo. That's never going to work. It's never going to fly. It's just, you might as well stop right there. Don't post. Don't hit send or whatever. Like, be very intentional if you really want to make an impact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Melanie has another question. Let me see. Melanie asks, how do you think your blogging has changed over the years? I might add to that. How do you think blogging in general has changed over the years?
Yeah. Right? The blogging landscape has changed so dramatically over the years. I mean, before you could just be super casual about it and post just normal photos. Nobody was doing Photoshop to everything that they posted. It was a very organic process a long time ago. And if you look way back in the archives of knittedbliss.com, you'll see, you know, there's totally photos of me in my bathroom with the mirror and selfie. Like, I've done it. I've totally done it. And I don't do it anymore. But, you know, there's all kinds of those sorts of old photos before I really spent some time working on my own photography to kind of get up. And I don't know how to use Photoshop, so I'm not going to say Photoshop is the be all and end all because I don't have it and I don't know how to use it and I don't have time to learn. But you do need to do some light editing because there's a lot to be said for a really well-placed crop. And it's amazing what cropping a photo can do mm-hmm. in terms of really making it far more appealing. And then also just adjusting some of the lighting, you know, is the photo too warm or too cool? Actually I use PicMonkey.
And it's
super easy for me to edit photos in that. And, mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't require any special skill set and isn't as overwhelming as any time I've seen anyone open Photoshop. And it just allows me to make some small tweaks quickly and doesn't take up too much of my time.
Yeah. And I love PicMonkey and I also use Canva.
Oh,
so
yes.
It's like, and I like all the graphics that I create for the podcast, for everything I use is Canva combined with PicMonkey. I do have experience with Photoshop, but man, when I discovered PicMonkey and Canva. It was like, whoa, it's very user-friendly. Those programs are great. So you guys check them out for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's like a totally new world we're in.
So I would say that's really changed a lot with the blog over the years. And then also to the establishment of when I started doing Modification Mondays. And then once I added in the Friday pinups and link love, it kind of felt like with those two anchoring each week, I didn't have to think to myself, gosh, what am I going to post this week? What am I going to blog about? What do I need to take photos of next? Because I had content. Basically, when you look at Mondays and Fridays, those aren't my photos. I just have to obtain permission. So, and be careful about what I'm looking at on the internet, what I'm going to be sharing. So, you know, to have two posts per week where I don't have to take the photos, I just have to write the content, that makes my life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it also makes your blog, you know, has a richer look to it. It has more variety, you know, so it's nice that you can do that.
Yes.
It's awesome. Well, thanks, Melanie, for asking that question. So, all right. So we have a special gift. Do we want to share the special gift, Julie? Would you like to, or would you like me to announce?
Oh, you go ahead. You.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys. So Julie is offering a 40% discount off of her Knitted Bliss patterns. And her link can be found. It's not there on Ravelry, right, Julie?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's let me give you this, a long address. I should have created a pretty link for this, but it's going to be in the show notes as well for this episode. Ravelry.com. So on Ravelry. So ravelry.com/designers/knittedblissjc. Right? Am I frozen on your side? Do you see me as frozen, Julie?
Yeah, you're frozen on the screen.
I'm frozen, but you can hear me.
Oh, I hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. So, yeah. So aside from visiting your blog, Knitted Bliss, where can everyone find you hanging out online, Julie?
Well, I you probably know this considering how much time I've spent talking about photography today, but I'm definitely on Instagram, KnittedBlissJC on Instagram, also on Twitter, but I'm not the biggest tweeter, really, Instagram, where I'm going to post. And also on Facebook, you can do a search on Knitted Bliss and find me there as well.
Awesome. So unfortunately, I'm frozen, but you can still hear me, and I'm going to say goodbye, and then everyone, please don't go away, because I have a few more things I want to share. But Julie, this was awesome. So thank you so very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, and I'm sorry we had those tech glitches at the beginning. I'm not sure what happened there.
Hey, that's life, right? That's the way it is.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So enjoy, and stay warm. Okay.
Sarah.
Alrighty, bye.
Bye.
Okay, you guys, hopefully you can see me. I am frozen, but I'm just going to keep on talking here. This is crazy. So Julie, it was awesome to have Julie on the show today. And I just want to give you a little taste of what's coming up with some upcoming guests. So I've got Marley Bird of the Yarn Thing podcast, Stephen West, Jessica Carey of Hook Nook. So maybe you guys know Jessica. And more. There's more people coming. I'm also going to have the ladies from the Knit and Crochet Now TV show. I think I mentioned that earlier. And so each week I'll be sending an open call for questions. So you guys, if you're patrons of the podcast, you get first dibs. So, and then I will just let you know, who's coming up, and then you can pose your questions. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And if you want to learn more about how to become a patron of Power Pearls podcast, you can visit powerpearlspodcast.com/community. And after this broadcast ends, you can subscribe and listen to the audio only version of the show by visiting powerpearlspodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player. So, and also, if you would like some help planning your path to magazine publication, or you want someone to evaluate your proposals and see if they can be improved in any way, well, I'm here to help. So as the former executive editor of Creative Knitting Magazine, I've got a few tricks up my sleeve. I'd be happy to share them with you. So how about if we book a discovery session? It's a free session, and we can have a chat. And you can go to powerpearlspodcast.com/free strategy session. So you guys, I know Evelyn says frozen with a grim expression. Oh my goodness. You guys, take care. I hope you can still hear me at least. Take care, and I will see you next week with another guest of Power Pearls Podcast. Bye and enjoy.